in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Father, our hearts and minds are open. Father, thank you. We have come to hear from you. We have come. The Bible says, unto you shall the gathering of your people be. Speak to us in a language we will understand. We receive grace not just to be hearers, but to be doers. We receive divine insight, divine illumination. We receive on this mountain divine instructions. And we receive divine impartations of the spirit of wisdom that will bring about mega successful relationship and marriage, that we establish our marital destiny in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. Clap your hands. Who is excited about today? I don't know about you, but I feel like on top of the world. Hallelujah. Today happens to be our 6th wedding anniversary. Me and Pastor Simi, come on, rejoice, celebrate. Hallelujah. Now welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say, welcome to School of Wisdom. Specifically, Wisdom for Success in Relationship and Marriage Seminar. It's a seminar. Wisdom for Success in Relationship and Marriage. You might be seated in God's presence. Hallelujah. For sure you will be blessed today. Believe you me, the Holy Spirit, using me and the other choice vessels, when we come to the question and answer sections, the Lord is going to answer the questions of your heart. The Lord will answer the petitions of your heart. Clarity will come to you. The light of wisdom will shine upon your path. Every confusion will be cured tonight. Every error will be corrected tonight. Every doubt will be dissolved tonight. In the name of Jesus, puzzles and enigmas will be unraveled by the wisdom of God. And every mystery shall be dissolved by the operations of divine wisdom. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 24 verse 3. Proverbs 24 verse 3. Glory to God. Proverbs 24 verse 3. You know, when it comes to relationships and marriage, what most of us need, what most believers need, is a word seminar. Hallelujah. What I mean by that is that you need to be properly taught God's word in that particular area. Every area of life is fully covered by God's word. If you want to succeed in anything, then you need to find out what the word of God has to say about that thing, because the word of God is the wisdom of God talking. The word of God, the written word, is the wisdom of God in print. Am I communicating? Is a compendium of the mind of God, the logic of God, the will of God, am I communicating, is revealed in scriptures, including in the area of relationship and marriage. You want to know the will of God? Find out from God's word. You want to know how to make it work? You want to know the secret of successful, long-lasting and successful relationship and marriage? Find out from the word. You cannot apply correctly scriptural principles in the area of relationship and marriage and fail. The word of God is failure proof. God's word is valid for all times. Am I communicating? The word of God is not old fashioned. The word of God is ever current, ever valid for all generations. Am I communicating? The reason why a lot of relationships fail, a lot of marriages fail, is because they are not built on God's word. The word of God is that solid rock that when you build relationship or marriage upon, cannot fail and will never fail. Am I communicating? Any relationship built on God's word must work. The success is guaranteed. It cannot fail because you are building upon a rock. It's called the rock of God. Anything built upon the rock of God's word must succeed. It will stand the test of time. Am I communicating? It will withstand all the storms that Satan will steer against it. It will withstand all the pressures, all the challenges, every storm, name it. Glory to God. Because Satan attacks relationships and marriage. He attacks them. And the only guarantee of victory is when you build on what? The solid rock of God's word. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You build your marriage upon the rock of God's word, it becomes failure proof. That is how to failure proof your marriage. That is how to failure proof your marital destiny. That's how to failure proof your family. The problem is, many believers are not building on the rock of God's word. They have been influenced by this Babylonian system. They have been influenced by the people of the world. They are trying to do relationship the way the people of the world are doing it, and they are expecting to have a different result. It doesn't work like that. We belong to a different kingdom. Are you not aware that the day you got born again, you became a citizen of God's kingdom? You are no longer of the world. Am I communicating? You cannot run your relationship and run your marriage based on the principles of the world, the way Hollywood, Nollywood, Bollywood are running it, and you expect to get kingdom results. It will not work. I'm telling you the truth. What many of us need to do is to renew our mind. Because already, that is the problem. You have been wrongly programmed. Your mindset about relationship has been wrongly programmed to believe a lie. The movies you have watched, those movies, all those Korean, is it Korean people that are carrying first now in all those romantic movies? Help me a bit. All those lover boys, lover girls, all those Korean, you honest? Is it Telemundo, Ziwo, Nollywood? Who are the love champions now in Nollywood? Those days it was them Rancinoa, Genevieve, but it's as if they have passed the baton. Who are the lover boys now? Help me now. No, because we need to trace the root of the problem. This is the root of the problem. See, when the wrong things have been programmed into your mind,
you will start behaving and acting that way. That software, we need to change it. Because that's the problem. That's the problem with many Christians. When the Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, don't allow the world to squeeze you into their mold. There is a way they think. The world have their philosophy when it comes to relationship and marriage. For instance, the people of the world, if you watch most Hollywood, Nollywood movie, there is nothing wrong with a lady and a guy in a relationship. There is nothing wrong with them living in the same house, cohabitation. Am I lying? It's normal. As in, the movie normalizes it. They don't say anything wrong. The producer and the director, they all agree that it is okay. But is that what the Bible teaches? Now, look at the problem. You see how they deceive you. By the time you keep watching those movies, you unconsciously, your mind is programmed to see it as normal. So by the time you two start relationship, cohabitation. So you now see two Christian brothers and sisters, they say they are in a relationship. Because their mind has been wrongly programmed because of all the things they have heard, they have watched from all these secular worldly movies and all of that. So they are now behaving in a similar way. And hope you know that anything you keep seeing and hearing, you start believing, and it will shape your mindset, it will shape your belief system, it will now start affecting your attitude, it will affect your behavior, it will affect your perception, it will affect your action. This is the problem. I once spoke with a lady, I think me and my wife, I won't call names, a counselor, she's not a member of this ministry. She's staying in, she and her boyfriend, they were Christians, so two of them are serving in church. They are even leaders and workers in church. They are living together and enjoying husband and wife benefit. They are even coming to church from the same house. When I tried to give her reason to see that what she is doing is wrong, she should leave that place. Okay? She told me that her pastor is aware and is okay with it. Now that one weak me pass. Real life story. I counseled the person here. That our pastor is aware and the pastor approved it, is okay with it. I said, which kind of pastor is that one? I was angry. Because it's wrong. May I tell her my own? Go and pack your things and no be so with the duam in our kingdom. You have to follow scriptural principles. You are living in the same house with your boyfriend. The person you say you are a date, he said he promised me marriage. He put ring in my hand. Is that equal to marriage? You are cooking for him. You are washing his boxer. You are sweeping his room. You are washing plates. And then in the night, you people are doing the do. You are living like husband and wife, enjoying husband and wife benefit, and you are not married, committing fornication because you saw it. That is how they do it in movies. You see how you are being deceived. See, there has to be a standard by which you judge everything you watch. See, if the word of God has not already programmed your mind, you will be deceived. Because anything I watch, I use the word of God that has already been programmed into my subconscious mind, into my mindset. I use it as the yardstick, as the gold standard to judge what is right and what is wrong. The problem is when you don't have you've not made the word of God final authority in your life, and your mind has not been renewed by God's word, then you can easily fall victim to satanic deception that is being perpetuated by all those worldly movies and all of that. Am I communicating? Cohabitation is unscriptural. It's a marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. Am I communicating? But many are defiling the bed. Tell your neighbor, renew your mind. Don't buy into the ideologies of the world. Stop using Hollywood or Nollywood formula in your relationship in God's kingdom. If you use their principles, whose result will you get? You get their result. And how is their result? How does it look like? They marry today, they break up tomorrow. You want to get kingdom results, apply the principles of the kingdom. Follow the principles of God's word. Build on the solid rock of the word. Am I communicating? That's why I say what many people need is a word seminar. They need to renew their mind. Because a lot of believers, the source of your education in the area of relationship, the source of your education is wrong. And that is why your thinking is wrong. Your mindset is wrong. Your belief system is wrong. Imagine, there are some Christian ladies, they are in a relationship. They've never fought, they've never quarreled. The guy has never beaten them. Then they will say, the guy doesn't love me. Because in the movie they watched, the sign that the guy loves them is when they are always arguing, always fighting. And the guy gave a hot slap, power, and then later he will now kneel down with flower and apologize. Then we repeat it again tomorrow. So in the movie has programmed our mind to believe that that is how true love is supposed to be like. She is ignorant of scriptures. Jesus said, you are in error. You err. Because you know not the scripture, not the power of God. You must know one of them or both of them. Anytime you are ignorant of scriptures, scriptural revelation, scriptural truth, and you are bankrupt of power, error is inevitable. Whether it is in relationship or marriage. Tell your neighbor, renew your mind with God's word. Renew your mind. Another one. Some ladies have been deceived to believe that love and sex are the same. As in, when a guy truly loves her, if a guy truly loves me, he will want to have sex. He will have sex with me. They even call it love making. And the guy too believes that we are in relationship, I love you, to prove my love, let me have sex with you. If the girl denies, oh, you don't love me, because that is what they watch in movies, those Korean guys. You see the problem? That's why I said this is a gem. We need to trace the root of the whole matter, because we need to start correcting it from there. Build your relationship and marriage on scriptural principles, not on all those things you are watching. Am I communicating? He said, true wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. That house there can mean relationship, can mean marriage, can mean family, can mean home. So it is through wisdom that you build successfully a relationship, you build successfully a marriage, you build successfully a home. Am I communicating? And a family. Through wisdom, by understanding it is established. Then verse 4 is said, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and what? Pleasant riches. So look, listen. The major key, the number one key to successful relationship and marriage is this tripartite force. And the three are related. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. When you have the requisite knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, you will successfully build a relationship. You will successfully build a marriage. You will successfully build a home. You will successfully build your family. Am I communicating? The lack of wisdom is the number one cause of failure in relationship. The lack of wisdom is the number one cause of frustration and failure in so many marriages and so many homes. Glory to God. Say, I receive wisdom in the name of Jesus. Now let me do a simple definition of terms, some definition of terms, because this is a relationship wisdom for successful relationship and marriage seminar. Number one is relationship. What are relationships? What are relationships? Relationships are advantageous connections and strategic alliances that add value. They add value to your life and facilitate the fulfillment of your destiny. Relationship, I take it again, are advantageous connections and strategic alliances that add value to the quality of your life and facilitates the fulfillment of your destiny. Now, understand that there are right relationships, there are wrong relationships. The right relationships are assets. Wrong or bad relationships are liabilities. Relationships are a system of leverage. They are a system of advantage in this life. You cannot do life alone. Man is a relational being. Man is a social being. Man is a social being. What that means is that man cannot live in isolation. There is need for social interaction. Am I communicating? Everything multiplies on the basis of relationship. Relationships are a major system of leverage. You can leverage on relationship to succeed. You can leverage on relationship to rise in life. Glory to God. Statistics have shown that those that are in, that are married, and their marriages are, they are in good marriage. Someone in a good marriage, as in the person is married and the marriage is a good one, will live longer than the person that did not marry. Yes, their lifespan is longer. Research has proven it. And then the other part of, let me give you the other side. The person in a wrong marriage will live shorter than the person that is single. As in the person is in an unhappy marriage, problem, katakata, things are not working, trouble every day, it will reduce the person's lifespan. It's even better to be single. Am I communicating? The right relationship is like plus one. Wrong relationship, minus one. No relationship, zero. Now, plus one is better than minus one. Plus one is better than zero. And zero is better than minus one. So it's better to be alone than to be in the wrong relationship. Yes, the wrong relationship is like a minus. Relationship is, the right ones will add value to your life. It will facilitate the fulfillment of your destiny. Listen, relationships are not for fun. They are for the future. They are not just for fun. It's not just to catch cruise. It's for the future. Praise God. They enhance the fulfillment of your life and destiny. Glory to God. So, because man is a social being, he needs social interaction. Relationships are necessary for our spiritual, emotional, psychological, mental, and physical health and well-being. They are important for our health and well-being, whether it is spiritual, emotional, psychological, mental, and physical. Listen, people, not things. People, not even money, are the most appreciable assets in this life.
the most important thing, the most important on earth, the most important on earth are human beings. Not money, not things, not buildings. Am I communicating? People are more important than money. People are more important than cars. People are more important than houses. People are more important than things. Okay, let me give you a scenario. Let's say they gather all the monies in this world. All the monies. They gather all the currencies of all nations. All the money in World Bank, Paris Club, all the Central Bank of Nigeria, all the monies, they gathered them. And then they flew you to another planet with all the money. They put it inside a spacecraft. They flew you to, give me an example, is it Mars? Planet Mars. Only you. Only you. And they gave you all that money. And they left you there. Tell me, what use will be the money? There is no supermarket to buy anything. There is no terminal. You have all those money, you will die of hunger. That's to tell you that people are more important than things. Am I communicating? Or let's imagine they evacuated all the human beings on earth. They evacuated all the human beings on earth to another planet, and they left only you on earth with all the wealth of the world. Tell me, of what use will it be to you in absence of every other person? Hey, see Bugatti. Who will you show it to? who you want to oppress? You wear the most expensive clothes. Who is seeing you? You are the only person on planet earth. You now see the importance of relationship. That's why I say people are more important than things. People are more important than money. People are more important than houses. People are more important than cars. So stop using people. You know, there are some people, they are very funny. They love money, they love things, and then they use people anyhow as a means to get things. No. Love people, then use things. Tell your neighbor, love people. Care for people. Value people. Value relationship. Then use things. Things like money, cars, all those things. Use them. But stop using people, okay? Stop using people as a means to achieve selfish ends. No. So, what is marriage? Marriage is a covenant union between two mature adults of the opposite sex, in bracket, male and female, based on mutual agreement and parental consent for the purpose of procreation, recreation, companionship, and mutual partnership in the pursuit and fulfillment of their divine purpose and destiny. You know, go see this definition for Google. You know, go see them. You know, the YouTube. Did you get it? Get the message. I take it one last time. Marriage is a covenant union, no be contract. Lawyers can easily dissolve contract. These are blood covenant union between two mature adults. Mature. Marriage is for men, not for boys. It's for women, not for girls. Between two mature adults of the opposite sex. Opposite sex, oh. In bracket, put male and female. Before they go, put Adam and Steve. Because these days we have to emphasize these things. It's a crazy world. Is it man marrying man, woman marrying woman? They are clamoring for their rights. All the LGBTQ, all those things. It's between, the way God have ordained it, between two mature adults, not babies, of the opposite sex, in bracket. I say male and what? Male and female, not male and male, not female and female, not man and animal, not female and animal, male and, based on mutual agreement. Two of you must agree to marry. Agreement. Can two work together except they be agreed? They have to first agree to walk together in marriage, walk down the aisle. They have to agree which direction they are going in life. Am I communicating? Based on mutual and parental consent, parents must be aware, either parents or guardian or parent figure. No go carry person daughter and disappear without the parents' consent, and you say you don't marry. You be thief. They catch you. Glory to God. There must be parental consent. Glory to God. Based on mutual agreement and parental consent, for the purpose of what? Procreation. That's childbearing. Childbearing. Procreation. Comma. Recreation. Recreation talks of sexual pleasure. Leisure. For the purpose of procreation, recreation. You see, it's only in marriage that God legalized sex. It was not Satan that created sex, so God did. And God put stipulations around it. There are rules. He said, practice it only in marriage. It's Satan that came and corrupted it. And the devil said, no, everybody can do it. They can do it before marriage. They can even do it outside marriage. So fornication, adultery. Satan even said, in fact, man and man can do it. Homosexuals, gay, women and women can do it. Lesbianism, even man and animal, bestiality. It's the devil. You see, Satan is not creative. He only corrupts and what? Perverts any good thing God does. God created sex to be enjoyed in marriage. Am I communicating? Any sex outside marriage, whether before or outside, any sex outside of marriage or before marriage is a cheated sex. Did you hear what I said? They cheat you. You were cheated. It's a cheated sex. And it has grave consequences. Glory to God. So we said, for the purpose of procreation, recreation, companionship, that's friendship, comradeship, companionship, and mutual partnership in the pursuit and fulfillment of your divine purpose and destiny. Marriage is supposed to help you fulfill your divine purpose and destiny. Am I communicating? If you've not discovered your divine purpose, you are not qualified for marriage. Stop looking for Mr. Right or Mr. Wrong. I say Mr. Wrong. Stop looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. What you need to find first is purpose. Okay? Because it is that purpose you have found that will even determine who you marry. Am I communicating? To affect your choice of life partner. So marriage is for the purpose of procreation, that is childbirth, child rearing, recreation, leisure, sexual pleasure, companionship, that's friendship, and mutual partnership in the pursuit and fulfillment of your divine purpose and destiny. Now write this down. Write this down. Some solid foundation for building successful relationship. Solid foundation. Number one. You need this foundation. Cultivate a quality relationship and walk with God. Before you go into any relationship, solidify your relationship with God, your fellowship with God, your walk with God. Because it is the quality of your relationship with God that will determine the quality of your relationship with people. When you truly love God, it's easy to love human beings. Am I communicating? It's easy to love your spouse, is easy to love your friends. Glory to God. Your relationship with God affects and determines your character and your love walk. It affects your character, and character is important in relationship and marriage. True of us. You build a godly character through a what? Good and qualitative walk with God. Where you learn to fellowship with God, you learn to walk with God, it improves the quality of your character. So this is the number one solid foundation for building a successful relationship. Cultivate a quality relationship and walk with God. God first, okay? And that affects and determines your character and your love for people. Number two, be friendly, caring, and courteous. Proverbs 18:24. It says, he that must have friends must show himself friendly. So cultivate friendliness. Be friendly, be polite and kind. Be genuinely interested in people. Be interested in others. Be genuinely interested in the welfare and well-being of others. Am I communicating? Be caring. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Be polite. Be courteous. Glory to God. Some of you are not friendly. You're always boning. You are scaring away people. And your potential spouse. Potential, you know. Praise God. Always tying your face. Now you sabi pray pass. You sabi pray pass, Pastor Mafendi. Praise God. Be friendly. Am I communicating? See. Listen. The number one thing people notice when they see you is the look on your face. The look on your face is the most attractive thing about you. Even if you are wearing the most expensive clothes in the world, once you put on an unappealing face, it has spoiled everything. Am I communicating? People are easily attracted to people that are exciting. They smile a lot. They look happy. Am I communicating? It's very important. It's very, very important. Tell your neighbor, be friendly. Be nice to people. Be approachable. Be interested in others. Look at Joseph. Look at how he built relationship with that butler and baker. In the prison, all of them, they were in prison. They were prisoners, co-prisoners, prison mates. He just woke up one day and said, oh, hello, how? Joseph was very cheerful. He notices that their countenance was down. They were not happy. He said, what's the problem? Then they told me, both of them had a dream. They dreamt and they didn't know the meaning. Then Joseph said, come on, cheer up. He interpreted their dreams. And that was how he built relationship. Later, okay, Pharaoh, on his birthday, he killed the baker. He hanged him. Then he released the butler. And that was the meaning of the dream. And then later, some years later, when Pharaoh had a dream, nobody could interpret. The butler remembered and recommended Joseph. Imagine if there was no relationship. Put on a cheerful countenance. No matter what is happening in your life, be happy. Be cheerful. Tell your neighbor, cheer up. Everything is going to be all right. God is in control. Cheer up. You are looking as if the whole world collapsed on your head. They look as if now you kill Jesus. Praise God. If you want to have friends, you must be friendly. Must be friendly. Be well-mannered and be approachable. Be well-mannered. Honor and respect people. Treat people with honor and respect and dignity. Glory to God. Stop disrespecting people, looking down on people, talking to people anyhow. No. You lose favor. Am I communicating? Number three, have good and godly values that you live your life by. Have good and godly values that you live by. Have scriptural values and principles. You listen to this. You attract who you are, not what you want. Because like begets like. The people you attract are a reflection of your values. Your values must be scriptural. They must be based on God's word, okay? The people you attract are a reflection of your values. Your values reveal your convictions and your character. So when you have the right value, see, listen. When you have the right value, you've already streamlined the kind of people that you can attract. Am I communicating? Some people, they are always attracting the wrong set of people. You know why? The problem is their value system. Their values. They need to go and work on their values. Because they have the wrong values, it's easy to attract the wrong people. Because like begets like. Like attracts. Glory to God. Imagine somebody went to a party or nightclub, and then that was where he found somebody that they started relationship with. And then later you are complaining that the man is cheating. The man you found in a nightclub. Why will he not cheat? Are you getting me? Do you find people with godly values in nightclub? Do you know research have shown that in church, people with similar values, they tend to attract each other. They end up being friends and close. They form clique. So those that are carnal, those that are spiritual, even in church, is a proven research. The ones that don't like prayer, they attract themselves. So Festival of Fire, you will not see any of them. They are clique. But let there be any carnal thing, you can see they will be in front. Like begets like. Listen, if you are not spiritual, if you are very carnal, you are going to attract a carnal Christian like you, even though two of you met in the house of God. It's a law. It's a law. You that don't like prayer, you will attract the person that doesn't like prayer. And then two of you in the marriage, you have to be encouraging each other to pray. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, work on your values. See, by the time you dress as a lady, you dress with the attire of an harlot. You dress like a prostitute. You show front. You show back. Which kind of men do you think you will attract? Buzuru men. It's true. The men that just want you for sex, some of them can even rape you. That's the kind of men you will attract to. Why? Because of your value system is warped. Am I communicating? But if you are a godly, you know, you carry yourself with dignity. You understand? You're on fire for God. You love God. You live your life based on the principle of God's word. Do you know that all these yeye guys, they will advise themselves. They won't even come close to you. They know the answer is already no. They know the kind of ladies that they can get, not you. Why? Because of your values. That's why I said the people you attract are a reflection of your values. If you don't like the kind of men as a lady, you don't like the kind of men you are attracting, go and work on yourself. Work on your values. Am I communicating? The same thing with a guy too. The same thing. The same thing. The same thing. By the time you wear yellow shirt, pink trouser, green tie, purple shoe, you will attract a lady that is your match. Am I communicating? You don't attract what you want, you attract who you are. Am I communicating? Next, solid foundation. Cultivate a healthy self-esteem. Cultivate a good self-esteem. Listen, your self-value or your self-worth determines your self-confidence. Your self-confidence in turn determines your performance. That's your actions and behavior. How you see yourself determines the way you behave and carry yourself. Your carriage comes from your self-perception. Your composure comes from your self-perception. Low self-esteem or poor self-esteem leads to inferiority feelings.
An inferiority feelings, inferiority complex leads to insecurity and lack of confidence and poor performance. So, people that have low self-esteem, we have to depend on external validation, external approval. You see, when you are people approval addicted, when you are addicted to people approval, that's if people don't approve you, you are not happy. You are addicted to external validation. Is one of the telltale signs that you have low self-esteem. When you meet people with healthy self-esteem, they don't care about people's opinion about them. They don't look for external... they don't feed on external validation. You understand? Whatever you think of them is your opinion. They don't give a damn. Am I communicating? You, before going into a relationship, work on your self-esteem. Work on what? Your self-esteem. Know who you are. Because your self-esteem simply means your how you see yourself, how you estimate yourself. You see, self-esteem is the estimation of your worth in your own eyes. As in your value in your own eyes, your worth. The estimation of your worth or your value in your own eyes. How do you see yourself? You know, there are people that don't even like themselves. They hate themselves. They hate their body. Some people are body shamed, especially ladies. But in their mind, they have a picture of one celebrity that because their body doesn't look like that celebrity, therefore, they feel inferior. They feel less. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, like yourself. It doesn't matter your height, your color of skin. It doesn't matter your weight. It doesn't matter the shape of your nose. The Bible declares you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Were you the one that created yourself? The person that created you already declared that you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Stop waiting for people to tell you are beautiful. Your maker say you are beautiful. Believe that one. The next time you stand in front of mirror, stand very well. I find. See what God has made. You understand? Hi. Can you create this little finger? The one that created you say you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Then one yeye person outside, because you know grief for him, he said you were war. And you believed that opinion. You believed the opinion of that person over and above the opinion of the God that created you. Are you not a fool? You are a fool. You are not wise. Am I communicating? Look at your neighbor, say you are beautiful. If he's a guy, say you are handsome. Anybody that cannot see it, the person has cataract. Open angle, close angle, glaucoma. The person has short-sightedness, astigmatism, long sight. The person needs to see an ophthalmologist to review their... Yeah, it's true. Praise God. Say, I find well. Have a healthy self-esteem. Praise God. Anybody 1 inch, one inch taller than you is too tall. Anybody 1 kg weightier than you is overweight, is obese. Anybody that is fairer than you is too fair. Mami water fair. Albino. Anybody darker than you is too dark, na charcoal. Tell your neighbor, like yourself. See, you need to know who you are. When you know who you are, you will have a good self-esteem. You will stop feeling inferior to anybody. Does it matter? The person is driving Range Rover Sport. And so what? You are of more worth than a Range Rover. What was Range Rover? Are you getting me? Do you know your worth? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That means the soul of the most wretched human being is worth more than all the wealth of this world put together. Don't stop feeling inferior. Praise God. I know God will bless you. I know you will have all those things. You fly private jet, you have yacht and ship, but never rate or base your worth or value on those things. It's the people of the world that use those things to estimate their worth. One day, I will never forget, some years back, somebody was talking about Two-Face. He said Two-Face the Dibia is worth so so amount. I didn't know how he do. It just flung out of my mouth unconsciously. I just said, what a pity. I'm telling you, the person mentioned some millions or so. He said the person was some millions of dollars. I just said, what a pity. I was not reasoning. It just came out of my mouth. You need to know your worth. As a lady, know your worth. Don't allow any guy to mess up with you because of urgent 2K. Because he bought iPhone. What is iPhone compared to your what? Because he bought you latest iPhone. He wants to sleep with you. To hell with your iPhone. Carry the iPhone. Take your iPhone. Nonsense. Are you getting me? Say because he bought you a car. He built house for you. You are worth more than a car. You are worth more than a house. It's not a license for him to come and mess you up. Am I communicating? Listen, as a lady, singles, hear me. If a guy knows that he can buy you with money, you are cheap. You are very cheap. It shows you don't know your worth. Because no matter the price tag you put on yourself, there are men that can buy. There are men that can pay. Yes, there are men that can pay. A man can spend billions of dollars just to get a lady and have sex with her. He doesn't care. So if you rate yourself based on money, you have cheapened yourself already. There are people that will pay. But when you know your worth, you know that you are priceless. Did you hear what I said? You are what? Priceless. No amount of money can buy you. Then you start attracting the right people. In fact, the men will even respect you. Is it that girl? Forget them. Nothing why I don't do to get her, but she no agree. No amount of money can buy her. They will respect you. Are you getting my point? Praise God. Are you learning something? So develop a healthy self-esteem based on the word of God. Know who God says you are. Know what God says you have. Know what God says you can do. You want to know your worth? Look at the sacrifice of Jesus. The Bible says you were bought with a price. You worth the life of Jesus. So stop looking down on yourself. Stop demeaning yourself. Next, focus on adding value to yourself and investing richly in your personal growth, self-development, and transformation. Focus on adding value to your life. Add value to yourself. Then invest richly in your personal growth, self-development, and transformation. Be a valuable contributor in a relationship. Don't be a parasitic consumer. Don't be a parasite. Always looking for what to get. No. Be a value adder in a relationship. Bring value to the table. Contribute value. Something of value. Be a blessing, not a burden. Don't always be at the receiving end. Gimme, 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 gimme. Every time, demand. Some ladies are very funny. They just started a relationship with a guy. They have started billing the guy. They have found their rent payer. They have found their recharge card, recharger. They have found the person that will give them money for Brazilian air, bone straight. Bone straight, when your destiny never straight. Am I communicating? No. Don't be a parasite. Men don't value people like that. They add value. Look for how you can contribute, how you can add value to the life of the person. Bring value to the table. Am I communicating? Be a committed giver in that relationship. Your birthday, you build the guy so they admitted him in the hospital. I'm only joking, no. Listen, now that is your birthday. His own birthday, you are still billing him. You are a thief, but not you. Am I communicating? Get him gift. Bring it, and it's the other way around too. As a guy, am I communicating? Bring value to the table. Don't be a burden, be a blessing, be a committed giver. Give of your time, your talent, your treasures, your gift, your knowledge, your resources, you know, in the relationship. Don't just be a constant receiver. Don't be self-centered. Don't be selfish. Kill every trace of greed. Be an active, positive contributor, not a passive consumer. Then I said, focus on your personal growth development. Work more on building and developing yourself. Okay? See, listen. Part of preparation for marriage is that you develop yourself. You work on yourself. Focus on your daily growth. Your daily improvement. Upgrade yourself. Evolve into superior versions of yourself daily through a commitment to personal growth, development, and transformation. Instead of you always searching for the right partner, you are searching from pillar to post everywhere on social media, you know. Instead of you always searching for Mr. or Mrs. Right, you should focus more on working on yourself and investing in building yourself to become the right person of value. Did you hear what I said? I take it again. Instead of you always searching endlessly for the right person or partner, focus more on working on yourself. Focus more on developing yourself, building yourself to become the right person of value. Because success, even in relationship, is a reward for the person of value that you have become. Nobody sees anything valuable and will not want it. Are you getting me? When you focus on adding value to your life, it will soon reach a level that everybody will want you. Every man is looking for a woman of value to marry. Every woman is looking for a man of value to marry. Nobody wants to marry a non-entity. Nobody wants to marry a liability. Am I communicating? So focus on being a person of value. Invest those time, energy, and resources you are using, searching and chasing, looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Use it to work on yourself. When you become the right person, the one meant for you, they will look for you. Are you getting the point? Then number 6, discover and pursue God's plan and purpose for your life. This is very foundational. Very, very foundational. Discover and pursue God's plan and purpose for your what? For your life. You find, follow, and fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. Remember, purpose precedes and determines your choice of relationship and marriage. God gave to Adam a life assignment. He put it in the garden to what? To keep it and to dress it. He gave him a life assignment. He gave him a mission. Adam discovered his purpose. God also told him to name the animals. God gave him a divine assignment before he brought Eve to be a helpmeet. So the person you are to marry, the woman you are to marry as a man, is to be a helpmeet. You can only help somebody that is busy doing something, busy fulfilling purpose, busy with their life assignment. Am I communicating? So that's why I said, if you have not discovered purpose, you are not qualified for relationship and marriage. Praise God. Purpose. I say find purpose before a marriage partner. Your life's mission comes before marriage partner. Your purpose determines your work. Your divine purpose precedes and determines the choice of who you marry. That's your marriage partner. Purpose must precede the giving and receiving of marriage proposal. Before you propose, first find purpose. Before, as a lady, before you receive the proposal, first what? Find purpose. So, purpose must precede the giving and receiving of marriage proposals. Your spouse should be your number one destiny helper, your number one purpose partner, and your number one supporter in life. Your life assignment determines who God will assign to marry you. I say your life assignment determines who God will what? Assign to marry you. There is a difference between kingdom relationship and worldly relationship. For instance, in our kingdom, we don't just do relationship as in all this dating and courtship. We don't just do them for fun or for fantasy or for sex. No, it's the people of the world that do that. You know, the people of the world, you just say, here's my boyfriend, here's my girlfriend. They are dating. They are in a relationship. But it doesn't have it has neither head nor tail. No purpose. They are not thinking of marriage. Marriage is not in the mind of the guy. Is the relationship is just for what? Fun and for fantasy and for satisfying their sexual gratification. We don't do that. I say we don't do that. In the kingdom, our relationship are purpose driven. When we are in a relationship, it's because we are thinking of marriage. It's going somewhere. All things being equal, is everything is right. It should lead to marriage. It should progress. There is a purpose for it. We don't just date for the fun of dating. That's why you see the people of the world, after they have dated somebody for 3, 4, 5 years, they break up. They start dating another one. They break up. So they have exes. We don't do that. I say we don't do that. We don't do that in the kingdom. Praise God. And then I wrote that all relationships must be well defined. All relationships must be well defined with clear-cut boundaries set. So you define all relationships and you set clear boundaries. What do I mean? You define the purpose of the relationship. What is the purpose? Am I communicating? What are we doing? What are we doing? A guy, you notice, as a lady, you notice a guy becoming unusually close to you. He's calling you more frequently than normal. Is visiting you more frequently than normal. Is giving you some signals. Smiling at you too much than normal. You know, there's the normal and there's the abnormal. You understand? Two of you are chatting on WhatsApp, chatting into the night. When all innocent people are sleeping, you are still chatting. And using smiling emoji. You need to ask questions. Don't do anything based on assumption. What are we doing? If the guy is not talking, ask questions. Say, I notice you are it's as if you are interested in me, you are becoming too close. You know, I don't know exactly what is the purpose of your closeness. What are we doing? Define the relationship. Are we just friends with no strings attached? Friends without benefits. No strings attached. Or he wants to ask you out. If he wants to ask you out, he should ask you out. The answer is either yes or no. So he should ask you out. Don't be afraid. As a guy, am I communicating? It's one of two answers, yes or no. Some we add another one, wait. Am I coming? They put you on waiting list and you may be number 16.
on that waiting list. Am I communicating?
Don't assume anything. If a guy has not opened his mouth to ask you out, stop saying you are in a relationship. You are not in any relationship. If you go to court, the judge will rule in his favor. Now, tomorrow, the guy will go and marry another girl, and he say he broke my heart. Was there a relationship in the first place? The relationship only took place in your heart because you were living in the realm of assumption. Say, because he's unusually close to you, he calls you frequently, he has never opened... Listen. If a guy has never opened his mouth to ask you out, nothing is happening. You are not in a relationship. Stop deceiving yourself and stop putting your emotion into that relationship. Remove your emotion. Nothing is happening. Because assumption and presumption are the mother and fathers of frustration and failure in relationship. A lot of people assume too much. They assume a lot. Relationship should be well defined. If he asks you out, okay, and let's assume you prayed about it and you agreed, you are now dating. Then after a while, the guy is not saying anything. Ask question. Where is this dating heading to? Where is he going? He's not talking anything in line of marriage. Ask question, though. Because that is how, you know, women, you have what we call biological clock. Biological clock. If a guy dates you for 10 years and he didn't marry you, do you know he has affected your life? Imagine you were 22 when he started dating you. 22 plus 10 is what? And then the thing broke up. He didn't marry you. And then the next guy now dated for another 5 years. Ask questions. Where are we heading? You are dating. You say you are dating. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. The guy has no hope. He has not said anything about marriage. If I no allow and reach 3 years. If I after 1-6 months, I'm helping your life. I'm helping your life. Start asking questions. Because if a guy is truly thinking of marrying you, he will start making moves. You will start seeing some of the moves. He will carry you to see his parents. He will introduce you to his friends, important people in his life. He will take you, bring you to pastor to see apostle. You understand? You will see the move. Not the one that is submarine relationship. You know, he say, hey, I just want secret relationship, you know. I don't want people. You say, let's tell pastor. He say, I better leave papa. Papa, which one? Which papa? Leave papa. You know. say, don't worry. My parents, don't worry. At the right time, we'll go and meet them. You don't do 1 year. You go enter one chance. Am I communicating? We don't just do this thing anyhow. There is a purpose. It should head towards marriage, if all things being equal. And if he no one do, make he tell you early, so that you move on. Because he's blocking chance. He's blocking chance. You know what? Enter, you know, agree, enter. Other people want to enter, you are preventing them. Which kind of thing is that? You are blocking chance. As a lady, there are potential suitors that also like you. But because they are always seeing you with this guy, they know you are in a relationship. So it's repelling those suitors. So if you don't want to, make it tell you early. So that everybody go their way. So that other more serious, responsible people can come. Am I communicating? They pull ring. Some people say it's worse. The guy has proposed to you. He put ring for your handcuff. He handcuff you. 5 years. 5 years. He has still not married you. 5 years. Chai. And anytime a responsible potential suitor wants to come around, he sees that engagement ring.
that spirit of the ring repels him. I'm joking, no? He's repelled. So you keep for 5 years, you keep missing potential suitor because you are waiting for this guy. Eh? You even added weight until the ring is hooked in your hand. You know, sometimes it can become emergency. I've seen cases that they had to do surgery to remove the ring. You have added weight after 5 years of his engaging you. Engagement is not equal to marriage. Oh, hope you know. I've seen engagement that the thing no work. So please, ladies, are you listening? Be wise, oh. We are giving you practical wisdom here. We are giving you what? Practical. And guys, too, be decisive. Be decisive. How can you date somebody? You propose to somebody, poor ring, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you say you are not ready. Why did you engage her when you are not ready? 7 years. Until she reached menopause, ne? Am I communicating? You now reduce our marriage value. You know, most guys is when they are ready financially that they marry, when they have money, enough money. But for ladies, it's not a financial clock. Their own is biological clock. Time. Time is of essence. Time is of essence. You don't have time for time wasters. You don't have time for all this lovey. You know, it's when you are still young as a lady. All those romance, hey, lovey. But by the time you are 35. you have learned by experience that all those candlelight dinner, no be amo. You are looking for a serious, responsible suitor. That's the one you are looking for. Not all this lover boy, Korean, all those Korean fine boys. Am I communicating? It's when, as a lady, it's when you are young, all those things will be tickling your fancy. That's why sometimes you need to listen to people that have godly marriage, that have been married, that are believers for years. You need to listen to their counsel. Because you, your brain, now all those fancies, you they look. Them, they are looking for who is responsible, who will make a good husband. So listen to their advice. So that you don't make a wrong choice. Am I communicating? Then we say set boundaries. When you are in a Christian relationship, let's say a Christian guy asks you out, you are dating or you are in courtship, he has proposed to you, you are not yet married, you need to set boundaries. You need to set boundaries. Boundaries like, e.g., no kissing on the lips. Kissing is oral sex. Hope you know. I say kissing is oral sex. And kissing is part of foreplay that lead to sexual intercourse. So you set boundaries. That they are kissing in those movies does not mean you should do kissing in your own relationship. Praise God. You set boundaries like no sex before marriage. Two of you have to agree. No sex. And to ensure that you hold on to those decisions, you have to set some rules to avoid that. Because you can say, oh, we are not going to have sex. And then you are visiting the guy, two of you alone in the room. Why are you tempting Satan? You are tempting the devil now. I hope you know that is when most sex happen. I hope you know. When the guy and the girl, two of you, are alone in the room, that is when most sex happen. So you have to set boundaries and put rules like, two of us, we will not be in the same room alone. If I'm coming to visit you, I will come with my female friend. So there is a third party. Am I communicating? If he say okay, the guy say I don't want any third party, then come and meet in church, come and sit here, or put the chair on the altar there, or you can meet in other outward place, shawarma and grill. Will you have sex inside shawarma and grill? Even if you are mad, save your head, you correct. You want to come and have sex on the altar? Na angel Michael go give you. Praise God. You have to set boundaries. If you don't want sex to happen, avoid being alone together in one corner. Avoid it. Am I communicating? Because that is how it starts. Two of you are together. You started watching movie, romantic movie, say for that matter. The guy was sitting there, you were here. As the movie is going on, he will move from there, he will come and sit here. Then after he's sitting, you are watching together, then he will now put his hand like this. Say, he said this movie is interesting. Oh. Now so he start to, now so. Then two of you are smiling. The hand will now touch somewhere again. Then the next thing is that two of you are under bed sheet, on the bed. And then you now be crying, Jesus forgive us, cleanse us with your blood. It's a mistake. You are a victim of foolishness. Am I communicating? Stop tempting Satan. Stop tempting the devil. Set boundaries. Praise God. It was just innocent kiss. I hope you know that kissing was never designed to end at kissing. Kissing is part of foreplay. It's never designed to end at kissing. Then we just started kissing. I don't know what came over me. It's the anointing of kissing. I don't know what came over me. My body started doing somehow. And the next thing, we found ourselves on bed. We had sex. Praise God. Be wise. No start waiting, you know, finish. Why will you pass through this road like this if you are not going there? Praise God. Let me round up. Because we have another session, question and answer session. Now, write this down. Number 8, have authority figures, pastors, parents, fathers, credible marriage counselors. These are authority figures that you are submitted to in every relationship for the purpose of accountability, correct counsel, guidance, coaching, and assistance. Okay, that's why we always say, when you start any relationship, let us know. Come and report yourself. Let us know. It's not because we are against you, it's to help you. Church policy is to help you, it's for your security, it's for your safety. It's not against you. Am I communicating? You need to be properly guided. Now, take note of this. Number one, who you marry is primarily your choice. Who you marry is primarily your choice. Part of our right in Christ is the right to choose our marriage partner. But however, there are certain things that help you to make the right choice. There are certain things that help you make the right choice of who to marry. I will leave those things. Love is a choice. Love is an informed decision. It's a choice. Love is not a feeling. Feelings are based on chemistry, body chemistry. Feelings and emotions are based on body chemistry, which is based on physical attraction. But love is more than that. Love is a choice, not a feeling. Now listen, feelings may come before you make that choice, or feelings may follow after making that choice. But the feelings on their own is not equal to love. Love is a choice. Though feelings may precede the choice, or feelings can follow after making the choice to love the person. So you make the right choice of who to marry based on the following. Number one, you make it based on God's word, scriptural principles. You make the choice of who to marry based on scriptural principle. You can only marry those that are in Christ, those that are born again. Okay? You can only marry those in Christ. The person must be born again. The person must be born. When I say born again, it's not by mouth. You can see the fruit of Christianity in their character. Am I communicating? They fear God. Their reverence for God is proved by their submission to the Lordship of Christ. They are submitted to the authority of God's word and to the authority of the Holy Spirit. And they live their life based on God's word. Am I communicating? They love God and they serve God. It's not just professing Christians that you cannot see any sign of Christianity in their life. They are dangerous people. So you make the choice of who to marry based on scriptural principles. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. How can you say you are in love with an unbeliever? You only have feelings for the person. You are not in love. Do you know what love is? Bible says, love is God. Somebody that does not know God, you say you love the person. No relationship with God. The person is spiritually dead. No. You can only marry in Christ. You marry from our tribe, from Zion. Praise God. If you marry an unbeliever, who will be your father-in-law? Are you aware Satan is a father? Is a father of all unbelievers, sinners. So if you marry the child of the devil, who is your father-in-law? Devil. And guess what? Your father-in-law has the right to come to your house. So you have invited calamity and tragedy. So you make the right choice based on God's word, scriptural principle. Number two, you make the right choice based on your divine purpose. We have explained that you find purpose before partner. Okay, you make the right choice based on your life assignment. Listen, not all born again Christians are fit or are suitable for you to marry. God knows his plan and purpose for your life. So it's not just any of them. It has to be the one that is what? That fits into your divine purpose. The one that is suitable for your life assignment. Am I communicating? God said, I will make a partner suitable that is fit for Adam, and he brought Eve. So that's why we say your divine purpose determines your choice of life partner. It affects it. So you make that choice based on your what? Divine purpose. Based on your life assignment. If you are going to Sokoto, will you follow somebody that is going to Cross River State? No. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Next, you make the choice of who to marry based on God's leading, based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. You have to be led to find out God's perfect will. You have to be spirit-led. If you understand and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's easy to know the choice of who to marry. A lot of confusion comes because people are not led by the Spirit. They are led by their emotions. They are led by sight, their senses, what they see, what they hear, what they feel, what they touch. Some are led by the crowd, by society. Some are led by their friends. Some are even led by their family. But the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Tell your neighbor, be spirit-led.
So allow God lead you. If you don't know, listen, if you don't know how God leads you in your everyday life, you will still not know how God will lead you to make the choice of a right partner. The same way God normally speaks to you and lead you in your everyday life is the same way He's going to reveal, He's going to speak to you concerning who to marry. So develop that sensitivity to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can speak to us through the written word of God. Who has ever read the Bible and God spoke to you from the Bible? Me. The Holy Spirit can lead you through the inward witness. It can lead you through the inward voice of your own spirit. It can lead you through the voice of the Holy Spirit. It can lead you through other channels. Am I communicating? Understand the leading of the Holy Spirit so that you will know how to be properly guided. Then next, you make the choice of who to marry based on the relevant information, knowledge, and understanding of yourself first, and then the person you want to marry. So first, seek to know and understand yourself. Know what you like, know what you don't like, know what irritates you, know what makes you happy. Understand yourself, know yourself, then seek to understand the person you want to marry. Get to know about them. Praise God. Find out their background. Find out their family. Nobody dropped from the sky. Ask questions. Some ladies have married men without knowing. Because they didn't make enough research before they married the person. The man lied to them. He has a family. His family is in abroad. The lady did not make enough research. He hurried the whole thing. They got to meet. 3 months, they are married. Only for her to later realize he was a married man. Love is a product of knowledge. You can't love somebody you don't know. Find out about their past relationship. Why did it break? What happened? Ask questions. Find out about them, their genotype. Is it AS or SS or AA? So that you will know. You are AS. Before you start falling in love with somebody, find out their genotype. Because you know it's not medically advisable to marry AS or SS when you are AS. So before you put your emotion into that relationship, find out about them. Get to know them. Am I communicating? Their character, etc. Then next, you make the choice of who to marry based on relevant counsel from authority figures, your pastor, spiritual and biological parent, mentors, credible marriage counselors. Praise God. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Listen. If you are in a relationship and only you is insisting the person is the right one, your spiritual father say no, your biological father, your parents say no, something is wrong. Calm down, something is wrong. You know, sometimes when you are in love, they say love is blind. Have you heard that statement before? Do you know the kind of love? It's emotional love. It's eros that they are talking about. It can shut somebody's brain. There's what we call cerebral overriding. I'm using medical terms. So you cannot see some things. You need people that are not in love, that you understand, like you, to help you see. You are heading into a ditch, but the love has blinded your eyes. They need to help you. Praise God. So you need to be correctly guided. Then, lastly, you make the choice of who to marry based on the sanctified desires of your heart. Are you sanctified? Sanctified what? Desires of your heart. Look, God is not a wicked God. The person you are going to marry, to a large extent, it will be your taste. Now, wait, calm down before you start shouting. I know they like this one. Listen, there's what we call, you know, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord your God. He shall give you what?
It's not the carnal desires of your heart, too. It's the sanctified desires that are in line with God's will for your life. So as you delight in the Lord will now put his own desire in your heart. So you now start desiring for yourself what God is desiring for you. So it's in line with his will. Not carnal desires. Because some of you say, bring your list. He must be tall, dark, handsome. He must be a multi-millionaire. He must have house in Lekki. He must have houses in Jos. He must have Range Rover Sport, Bugatti, Phantom Rolls Royce. One of the reason, what? That one. See, God will have to carry mud and mold that kind of husband for you. Listen, one of the cause of marital delay is what we call unrealistic expectations. Some people, that they are victims of what? Unrealistic expectation. Say, me, the man I'm going to marry must be an Italian Jew. To even see a Jew is a problem. Now you now add Italian to it. You understand? Some people just have this unrealistic expectation. You go wait forever. You go pay for, you know, what do they call that kind of market that they are waiting for husband? You know, when people are looking for job, they call it labor market. What do you call that one? Husband market. You go pay. Am I communicating? Don't have unrealistic. Listen, in choosing who to marry, there are some what we call non-negotiable requirements. If it must be born again, it must be God's will for you. The person's purpose must be aligned to yours. Am I communicating? The person's character must be okay. These are non-negotiables. At least the person should be responsible, should be able to take care of you. Should have a source of income. Should be doing something that is bringing money. Because romance will not pay bills. Are you getting me? Praise God. Pay must be responsible. These are non-negotiable requirements. But all this other, he must be tall. That one na plus or minus. That one is minor. Stop majoring on minor. Major on majors and what? Minor on minor. If the person has met the major requirement, marry him, marry her. Stop moving around with your long list. Is that not how some people have been moving for the past 5 years? Those people don't exist. Stop looking for a perfect, he must have six packs. He must have six packs. Go and ask people that are successfully married for 20 years, 30 years. Go and ask them whether six packs is a requirement for successful marriage. Get sense, get sense on time. Then the lady must have shape, figure 8. By the time she born, it go become 3 children, it go become figure 18. Go and ask men that are married for 20, 30 years, whether shape is important. Go and ask them. Say the thing must set. Are you getting me? Say, as a lady, say, I don't like short guys. Must be tall. You, why you not tall? You must be tall. So, okay. Okay, who will marry the short people? It must be a millionaire. You, why are you not a millionaire? Is there anything stopping you from making your own money? Am I communicating? Praise God. You must have a car. Buy your own car. All those things, they are what? All those height, all those weight, all those shape, all those color, they are minors. Flexible. get major on the majors. Because in your mind, he must look like that Korean lover boy. See, that's how they have deceived you. Renew your mind. Tell your neighbor, renew your mind. You know, Christian people are funny. They say they want to marry, but they are looking for, Christian ladies, they are looking for a firebrand brother that is prayerful with a touch of Bonner Boy. You see the problem? You see the problem? Then Christian sisters, Christian brothers are looking for a very dedicated sister that, you know, that love God, that is of good character with a touch of Mickey Minaj. Confusion. Praise God. So, make the right choice based on all those things. What are those things you make the choice based on? On who to marry? Number one, God's word, scriptural principle. Number two, your divine purpose, life assignment. Number three, God's will, God's divine leading and guidance. Number four, relevant information, knowledge and understanding first of yourself and then the person you want to marry. Number five, relevant counsel from authority figures. Next, your sanctified heart desire. Okay? Sometimes you may not get all the 100%, 60%, 70%, 80%. It's good. Marry. Okay? Don't wait until everything. Then, next, companionship. Build and cultivate friendship. I've talked about friendship, okay? You've heard it said over and over again, marry your friend. And in the marriage, continue the friendship. What if I married somebody that is not a good friend of mine? Then befriend who you marry. Okay? If you fail to marry your friend, then now that you are in the marriage, start cultivating friendship. Do you know that most of what you are going to be doing in marriage is what two friends do? Are you aware? How many hours will you be having sex in a day? And other things. So most of the times, it was too free. You geez, you talk. Am I communicating? So, when you are doing your dating and courtship, develop friendship. Okay? And friendship is based on compatibility. Okay? It's based on compatibility. Compatibility. Which is based on what? Is the basis for friendship. And it's based on shared core values and shared core traits. You have common characteristics, common values. Am I communicating? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a friend? You have. Ask yourself, why is that person your friend and others are not your friend? The answer is simple. It's because two of you, you have common values, common interest. Common characteristics. You are compatible. That's why. It's the same thing in relationship and marriage. Okay, so you use that period before marriage to build friendship, then you continue the friendship in marriage. Praise God. Then we say marriage is who you marry is your choice. Love is a choice. And you make that choice based on those things we mentioned. Then after making the choice, commitment. Be completely committed to your choice of marriage partner. Okay? Once you have made the choice of who to marry, be completely committed to your partner or spouse, no matter what. Be committed to the person you married. Be committed to the marriage covenant. Be committed to practicing scriptural principles that make for successful marriage. Be committed to doing God's word. Without solid commitment, relationship and marriages can never work. You need solid commitment. Commitment requires discipline, diligence, dedication, and God's grace. Okay? So be committed to carrying out your marriage responsibility. Then learn to communicate. The next thing is communication. Communication is the lifeblood of all relationships and marriage. Any relationship or marriage will start dying the moment you stop communicating. Okay? 80% research shows that 80% of the time spent in every good relationship is on communication. Did you hear what I said? 80% of the time spent in every good relationship is on communication. The same thing in marriage. Communicate. Make sure you are constantly communicating. In marriage, let no day, especially when you are away from your spouse, let no day pass without you communicating. Effective communication is very important. It's one of the what you use to measure the health of a marriage. Let me tell you something. How do you know that there is problem in a marriage? The first place it will show is in poor communication or lack of communication. When there is problem between husband and wife, there will be problem in communication. Either they are not talking again, or the communication is poor. One statement. How are you? Wakago. That's the number one way to measure the health of a marriage. Is the communication? Is it good? Is it effective? Is it adequate? Am I communicating? This is very important. 80% of the time spent in every good relationship is on communication. That's why we say build friendship. Just laugh. Have fun. Enjoy each other. Communicate. A lot of disagreement, a lot of quarrels, a lot of problems in marriage, they can be traced to either poor communication or ineffective communication or lack of communication. Praise God. I say praise God. Are you learning? How do you kill a relationship? Stop communicating. Stop every form of communication. It's just a matter of time. That relationship must die. Starve it of communication, it will die. Relationship is initiated by communication. It continues with communication. It is sustained by communication. It is enhanced by communication. It thrives by communication. Even our relationship with God is based on communication. That's what we do when we pray. That's what we do when we read the Bible. So develop and sharpen your communication skills. Be an interesting and an exciting conversationalist. Learn to talk well. Develop your read books on effective communication. There is this 7-38-55 rule developed by Professor Albert Merabia, I think University of North California, that it states that in communication science, 7% of the communication is in the words you speak, 38% is in the tone of your voice, 55% is in your body language. That body language carries majority of communication, what we call non-verbal communication. Body language includes what? Your mannerism, your facial expression. Am I communicating? Your gesticulation, your gestures, all of that. Do you know you can communicate without saying anything? And yet you pass the message. If you see husband and wife that they are very close and they understand each other very well and they are very good friends, they don't need to talk to communicate. Maybe they are visitors. There is a way they will look at each other. They have communicated. There is one look, it means go and bring coke. There is one look that means no bring that remaining meat. Praise God. Communication is very important. Glory to God. I say glory to God. How many of you have watched Mr. Beans? To tell you that non-verbal communication is the majority, 55%. Mr. Bean, when he's doing his comedy, is he talking? It's non-verbal communication, yet you are watching and you are understanding. He's communicating. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, sharpen your communication skill. As a single, as you know, the person you say you want to marry, do you know how to communicate? Are you an interesting conversation? Some of you, even on phone, you are boring. He say, hello, how are you today? Fine. The lady say, fine. He say, have you eaten? He say, I have eaten. What did you? You are too boring. Go and learn. You know, you should, when you are talking, the lady should be smiling. Be an exciting conversationalist. Learn to talk. You know, they see the people of the world, the way they yarn. No wonder they are getting our Christian ladies. So, are you getting me? Praise God. Don't be boring. Character is the next. Cultivate godly character. Character talks about the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. They are all manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we call character. It talks about your love walk, your love life. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind, love forgives. They are all part of our character. Is a degree of your Christ likeness. Now listen, character is far more important than charisma. Character is more important than body chemistry. Character is more important than outward beauty. Physical appearance can attract, beauty can attract, but it is character that commits. Am I communicating? Some of you, so many suitors are attracted to you, but the moment they come close and they see your character, oh, bad character, it chases them away. A lot of ladies are not married today. One of the causes of delay is bad character. Some ladies can even fight in public. Very abusive, insultive. The same thing with some guys. Terrible character. Some guys. You say you are in relationship with the lady. Small thing, you have slapped. Power. Abusive. And the lady will come for counseling and say, I love him. You love him. And he's abusive physically like this. Verbally abusive, physical. You love him with bandage close to your head, your eye. Yeah? He has boxed you like Muhammad Ali. Or is it Mike Tyson? Or which one? Anthony Joshua. You love him. You need help. You don't need love at that point. You need help. Praise God. Don't marry a man that has anger problem. And that has uncontrol. He cannot control his anger. He can kill you one day. Hope you know. He can kill you one day. There are men like that. I was in hospital, Ola Hospital emergency. One day they rushed a woman that was beaten almost to coma by her husband. Domestic violence, intimate partner violence. The man beat her blue and black. Injury everywhere. This woman was almost in coma. We needed to admit her and resuscitate her. Physical abuse is real, though. Praise God. And listen, people like that, if you do correct courtship and you dated very well before you got married, they will have shown you signs. You will have seen those red flags. Small quarrel, small disagreement, the baby is angry, his hand is a sign. Tell your neighbor it's a sign. God is speaking. You better hear, it's a sign. Praise God. Character is more important than everything else. Praise God. The Bible calls it that inward beauty. The ornament of a what? Meek and a quiet spirit. Kill pride. Some men are too proud. Huh? Pride. Some ladies too are proud. They look down on all the guys that come close to them. Say in AGMI. All the guys, they are not my class. Not my class. Saba. Shoe get size.
Tell your neighbor, be humble. Pride is the reason why there is marital delay in the lives of some ladies. Even some guys, pride. Be humble, okay? Kill every ego. Relationship, now character is the basis of trust and credibility. And trust is a glue or adhesive that holds people together in a relationship or marriage. Work more on your character to enjoy a successful and lasting marriage. Have integrity, verbal integrity. Don't lie. Some guys can lie. They can lie. If they tell you good morning, you need to check time. Whether it's really morning. Praise God. Be honest. Be truthful. Be sincere. Even in your communication, open, honest, sincere communication. Verbal integrity. Your words, do they match your action? Do your words match your action? Praise God. Moral integrity. Have moral integrity. Have sexual integrity. Self-control. Sexual purity is not old-fashioned. Praise God. Listen, relationship and marriage will test your character and your love work more than anything else will on earth. Marriage, especially marriage, will test your character and your love work more than anything else. Praise God. Then the last one, capacity. Tell your neighbor, build capacity. I've given you 6 wisdom keys for successful relationship and marriage. The first key is choice. Make the right choice based on those factors. 2, companionship. Build friendship. Number 3, commitment. Be committed to the choice of who you have chosen to love and marry. Number 4, communication. Number 5, character. Number 6, because this is our 6th wedding anniversary, I'm stopping at number 6. Is what? Capacity. Tell your neighbor, build capacity for success in marriage. Prepare well. The period of preparation as a single is the time you build capacity. Get the right information. Okay? The right knowledge, teachings, messages, trainings. Acquire the right skills. Okay? Develop your ability to shoulder marital responsibilities. Another word for marriage is responsibilities. Marriage comes with responsibilities, oh. Covenant obligation. There are things husband should do. There are things wife should do. So you build capacity for those things. Am I communicating? You develop your capacity to shoulder marital responsibility through a lifelong commitment to continuous personal growth, development, and transformation. You build, now there are different kinds of capacity you must build to have a successful relationship and marriage. Number 1, build spiritual capacity through God's word and prayer, listening to messages. Okay, spiritual capacity. Because every marriage will reflect the spiritual condition of the two partners involved. Every marriage. And that is your spiritual capacity that determines your character, that determines other things. As a man, you are going to be the priest of the home, the prophet of the home, the pastor, the teacher. So your spiritual capacity is very important. As a woman, you need to raise the children and all of that. You are the administrative head of the home too. So you need to build capacity. Also, you build mental capacity. Then you build emotional capacity. You build your financial capacity. Listen, research statistics shows that the top 3 most important factors that determines the success of marriage or the failure of marriage, that's if there is absence of them. Top 3 determinant. Number 1, communication. Effective communication. Number 2, finance, money, finance. Number 3, sex. Somebody called them FCS. It's not this FCS, oh, Fellowship of what? Christian, not that one. FCS, finance, communication, sex. If you get those three things right,
you have solved more than 90%, 80 to 90% of problems in marriage. These are the top three determinants. Praise God. So tell your neighbor, build your financial capacity. Don't go and marry somebody when you don't have the financial means to take care of them. It doesn't make sense. Am I communicating? Doesn't make sense. And as a lady too, make your own money. Okay? Don't just depend on men's money. There is nothing wrong with the wife having more money than the husband. Nothing is wrong. Am I communicating? There are some women that are multi-billionaires. They are richer than their husbands. And as a man, don't be threatened when your wife has more money than you. It doesn't threaten your leadership position as the head. It doesn't. Praise God. When the Bible says the man is the head of the home, it's not based on who brings more money. That's not the basis. And as a woman, the fact that you have more money than your husband should not make you to be proud and puffed up, such that you now become rebellious and unsubmissive to his authority and start disrespecting him. No. Praise God. So, build your financial capacity. Also, build your physical capacity. Now, the greatest need of a man in marriage, a married man, is number one, respect and honor. Respect and honor. That's why the Bible says, wife, honor, respect your husband, submit to them. Okay? Obey your husband, respect your husband. Sarah calls Abraham Lord. She obeyed him and calls him Lord. Honor and respect. The next most important need of a man in marriage is peace. Somebody rightly say, men are like the Holy Spirit. They settle where there is peace. So, as a woman, make your home very peaceful for the man. Some men don't like staying in their home because the home is not peaceful. The Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a roof than to live in a white house with a what? Nagging woman. Quarrelsome. Why? Because the nagging will distort the peace in the home. That's why some men prefer to hang out. When it's time to sleep, then they will now go home. Because there is no peace at home. So, peace is the second most important need of a man in marriage. Next, sex. I'm not talking to singles. I'm talking in what? Marriage. Una here? Before you now go say Papa has given us license to have sex. So, then after sex, friendship. A man wants a friend out of his wife. He wants somebody they can gist together. Okay? They can laugh. He can share things, intimate things with. Companionship. What are the greatest need of a woman in marriage? Number one, love. That's why the Bible says, husband, love your wife. And this kind of love is agape love, unconditional love, self-sacrificing love. As a man, you can't afford to be selfish. Okay? If there is only one food in the house, give your wife and your children. Praise God. Make the sacrifice. It's unconditional. Your loving your wife is not conditional on her behavior. Mm-mm. Whether she's treating you well or misbehaving, love her anyway. Glory to God. Unconditional love, self-sacrificing love. This is the kind of love that makes marriage work. Love your wife the way Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. You see it there. Husband, love your wife the same way Christ loved the church, to the point that Christ sacrificed himself for the church. How many men can die for their wife? Me, I can take bullet for my wife. Let me... Praise God. So when I'm robbers come, they will go and hide. Tell the wife, go and check. Praise God. Love your wife. The greatest, number one, most important need of a woman is love. And that love is interpreted as quality attention, quality time, quality affection. Spend quality time with your wife. Give her your attention. Give her your attention. Give her your attention. Okay? Sometimes women just want you to listen. They just want to talk, express something in their heart, the things bothering them, the things they are happy about, the things, your everything. You just give them listening ear.
Be a good listener. Give them your attention. Not that they are talking, you are on Facebook. They are talking, you are watching TV. Continue to talk, are they here? No, you know they hear. Praise God. Then, affection. Affection. Okay? Show them affection. Then, care. Be caring. Be caring. Women need tender loving care. TLC. Tender loving care. Then women need security. 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 Safety and security. And that security can come from fulfilling your divine purpose, the vision God have ordained for you. That security can be financial. Financial security, physical security, emotional security. They just want to feel safe and secure around you. Praise God. Provision and protection. Rise to your feet. Praise God. Rise to your feet. For the singles that are yet to marry, I decree and declare, you will marry and marry well. I prophesy, let the appointed one for you locate you speedily. The one God have appointed for you, may they locate you speedily. It takes favor to marry, and it takes favor to marry well. It takes favor to enjoy the marriage. I decree that favor, marital favor, the grace for marital favor, let it mantle you now. Let that grace settle your marital destiny. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every troubled marriage. I speak to every marital storm and crisis. I speak to every marital challenge. In the name of Jesus, I decree peace be still. I command every marital storm to be ceased. In the name of Jesus. The wisdom of God will guide you to make the right decision. The wisdom of God will guide you to choose the right marriage partner. The one that God has ordained for you in line with His will. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy the release of grace for marital bliss. Receive grace for marital fruitfulness. Receive grace for marital fulfillment. You will fulfill divine purpose and destiny in your marriage. In the name of Jesus, the hand of the Lord rest upon you. Your marital destiny is settled by the power of the Holy Ghost. Anyone in a wrong relationship that is not ordained by God, in the name of Jesus, I command every wrong, ungodly relationship to scatter by fire. I disconnect you from the right person, from the wrong person. I disconnect you from every wrong person that God has not ordained for you. And I connect you to the right person. I connect you to the right person in line with God's will, in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, for those that are trusting God to marry soon, I decree and declare, let by the favor of God, all the resources you need, let them be released to you now. I prophesy the rain of resources. I prophesy all that you need for a successful wedding, let it be released to you now. In the name of Jesus, every anti-marital spell and curse, every evil covenant and diabolic altar that is fighting the marital destiny of anyone represented here, of any family represented here, I come with the rod of a higher priesthood, by the rod of power and scepter of authority, I command those curses and spells be broken now. Anti-marital covenant and altars, I command them to catch fire. I command them to be swallowed up in victory. I
secure your marital destiny by fire. Anyone that is being harassed by any spiritual husband, spirit husband, spirit wife, I command that yoke be broken now. I command that spiritual husband and wife banished from your life forever. No more harassment, no more oppression. Every marine spirit, every marine spirit that is fighting the marital destiny of anyone represented here, every force and power that has vowed that you will not marry, that has vowed that your marriage must fail, in the name of Jesus, I command those powers be broken now. I command that marital demon to be casted out of your life. In the name of Jesus. Any demonic spirit responsible for serial breakup, in the name of Jesus, that negative pattern ends now. I command it to end now. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Your marriage will be a blessing. It will heal families. It will bring joy and happiness. It will be the light of the world. It will advance the kingdom of God. It will lead many to righteousness. And Jesus will be revealed. And Jesus will be glorified. It is done in Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.